If you thought inequality was worse in poor countries, think again.
No, wait a minute. You don't understand what inequality is.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. We will talk about globalization in a couple of minutes. First, Hurricane Irma is barreling towards Florida as people evacuate their homes. Britain, France, the US, and the Netherlands all have territories in the Caribbean and are deploying aid there. Meanwhile, some airlines are also pitching in to help. Here's Virgin Atlantic's chief executive, Craig Krieger.
We've already started with today's flight, taking water and blankets along with us. On tomorrow's flight, we'll begin to take building materials and roofing materials. We anticipate this being quite a long rebuild process. So these are situations that, as an airline, we actually have an important role to play, and a role that we both recognize and take very seriously.
Well, stay tuned to the BBC and Marketplace for more there. Let's take a look at the markets across Asia and Europe. They're mixed. Japan's Nikkei closed down 121 points or 0.63% after disappointing growth data. Germany's DAX is up 12 points or 0.10%. Now, in China, trade data out today shows exports have grown more slowly than expected. Wednesday's U.S. figures showed a smaller than expected increase in the trade deficit. The dramatic slowdown in global trade has puzzled economists, and voters across the world have blamed globalization for job losses and inequality. Angus Deaton is a Nobel Prize-winning economist. He's published groundbreaking research on the impact of global trade on health in the U.S. and on inequality in places like India, which, by the way, will release trade data on Monday. I asked him, what's good about globalization?
What is good about globalization is like technical change in that it extends the possibilities of what it's possible for us to have, meaning that with globalization, it's potentially possible for all of us to be better off, and we don't want to throw that away. So the issue is not so much globalization itself, but how policy has dealt with globalization.
So let's talk about India. Now, it's the world's biggest democracy. It's one of the fastest growing economies. You've talked about the fact that poverty is decreasing. What about the benefits of trade liberalization?
Well, I don't think the poverty in India and the poverty in China, which is perhaps two of the greatest achievements that mankind has ever clocked up, would have happened without globalization. So unless you just completely discount the people out there in other countries who benefited from globalization, you can't just go around denouncing globalization.
But again, in India, you've got a lot of policy problems. It is a very unequal country.
Yeah, it's not nearly as unequal as the United States, though.
Hang on, you're saying that people in India who lack bank accounts and survive on a dollar or two a day, that you have the same kind of disparity cheek by jowl in the U.S. with billionaires?
No, wait a minute. You don't understand what inequality is. Inequality is a relative concept. I'm not saying that there aren't hundreds of millions of people in India who are much poorer than almost anyone in the United States, and that there are people in India who are fabulously rich. But when you measure inequality, this really is important. We're measuring the shares of the total that go to various groups, and that's much more unequally distributed at a much higher level in the United States than is the case in India.
Angus Deaton. China's not known for making good wine, but that could be about to change. The BBC's Howell Griffiths has more.
One slurp at a time, Wen Yukang knows exactly what he's looking for in a glass of wine.
Nice?
Yes.
Wen Yukang is one of more than 100 Chinese students enrolled at the University of Adelaide on a winemaking degree. In just 5 years, the intake here has nearly trebled.
It's about 13 Bome.
They've come from across China, some as wine novices, others just with a taste for life's finer things.
We put a little notch on the front, so when that comes out...
China is the world's sixth largest wine producer and looks set to overtake the fifth largest, Australia. But just as Australia used to have problems convincing the world it could do quality as well as quantity, China is facing a similar dilemma. Paul Grabin is an associate professor at the university.
They're several decades behind where Australia was, perhaps even 50 years behind where Australia was in terms of vineyard development. There is parts of China with a long tradition of growing grapes, but it's the new regions, the new areas that are expanding that more knowledge is needed to understand what works best under those climatic conditions.
So we're going to have really good contact with the rootstock.
Knowing how to market your wine is pretty important too, something Australia seems to have mastered. Last year saw a 44% surge in sales of Australian wines in China. It's become Australia's biggest customer. According to Steve Dundon from the Sidewood Winery in the Adelaide Hills, Chinese drinkers are also becoming more discerning.
We're seeing it probably just in the past 5 years from the evolution from labels. We saw Australian wines that used to just have koalas and kangaroos on them, and then we started to see this trend of using Chinese imagery or Chinese references like the number 8.
Even if it does take some time to persuade the world it wants to buy its wine from China, these students are pretty confident they can sup and slurp their way to a decent career.
Howell Griffiths reporting there. You might argue about what's better, Prosecco or champagne, but you should know Prosecco sales are definitely bubblier at the moment. Down to women wanting to drink it. We'll just say cheers to that. In London, I'm Anu Anand with Marketplace from the BBC.
This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.